Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. This week, we are going to be discussing yet another teenage murder, a senseless crime by a teenager's own friends. This is the story of Brianna Jai. Brianna Jai was born November 7th, 2006. She was a 16-year-old transgender girl and a year 11 pupil at the Birchwood Community High School in the Birchwood area of Warrington. Brianna was also a pretty popular TikToker, and she had up to 63,000 followers at one point. I saw a couple different reports said she had about 31,000, but man, that is a ton, especially at 16 years old. So as you can see, what a bright, shining light she was. Totally gorgeous. She would mime and dance to popular songs on TikTok, and her look was just so great. She was the kind of person that if you saw her walk past you, you have to look, because there's just something so bright, different, energetic, like, you know, she was a star. Brianna's family member described her as a larger-than-life character who would leave a lasting impression on all that met her. Brianna was beautiful, witty, hilarious. Brianna was strong, fearless, and one of a kind. As a teenager, Brianna was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and also autism, which her mother said impaired her ability to identify dangerous situations, and it also impaired her ability to identify and help calm her anxiety. And these diagnoses also meant that Brianna did not participate in regular lessons at school. She required one-on-one tutoring in her school's inclusion room. In the UK, inclusion classrooms are filled with diverse learners, and they may find that they have more in common with other kids than they thought. This can go a long way in reducing stigma for kids with learning disabilities, attention issues, bullying issues. This is where Brianna would meet Scarlett Jenkinson. Scarlett grew up in the Cheshire village of Colchef, and Colchef is a high-achieving area with a very middle-class family life, and it's also a wonderful place to raise children. But Scarlett was asked to leave her school, and that was because she was accused of poisoning another student with cannabis gummies that she made herself. She was only caught after the child ended up being hospitalized. Brianna and Scarlett are in this school's inclusion unit now for just completely different reasons, but the two become friends. And Scarlett actually says that they became friends because one day Brianna told her that she loved her makeup. She told her specifically that she loved her eyeliner. And Brianna thought that Scarlett was really pretty, and Scarlett thought that Brianna was really pretty. Scarlett was really into horror movies. She was fascinated with murder, serial killers, and dark web footage of torture. She would tell people that she wanted to kill in real life, and she just wanted to see what it felt like. Students at Scarlett's first school would say that they were pretty intimidated by her, and everyone knew, and it was common knowledge, that she had what she referred to as a kill list, a list of kids that she wanted to kill. A parent of one of the children that attended that school said nobody would look her in the eye when she walked down the corridor. There was something just not right about her. People thought she was evil. A source close to the investigation said that as well as her fascination with murder and torture, Scarlett told her friends she was into Satanism and the occult, and she also claimed and identified herself as a witch, which, let's just put that out there right now. I love horror movies. I wish that I could be a witch, and if I ever met a girl at age 16 in the same situation as me, in the same classroom, who loved all the same things that I did, of course I would be like, let's be friends. You would never think just because somebody says that they love horror movies or they love anything to do with witchy stuff that they were going to be such a horrific human being. Scarlett's parents, Emma Sutton and Brian Jenkinson, were a very hardworking couple. Her dad was a builder and a plasterer, and her mom was a home economics teacher. It was said that Scarlett always struggled to make friends, but she did have one best friend, and his name was Eddie Ratcliffe. Eddie and Scarlett had been friends since age 11. In a notebook found by the police in Scarlett's bedroom, she had written a page describing Eddie, and it said, trustworthy and sociopath. Someone that doesn't have many or no emotions. Good sense of humor. Very, very smart. Genius level. Not sociable. Socially awkward. Gets anxious. That's just a list of things she made out in her diary to describe Eddie, who was her best friend. Eddie may have been socially awkward, but he was an amateur kickboxing champion. He also had a fascination with knives and he collected blades. He bought the hunting knife that would be used on the day that Scarlett and Eddie would meet Brianna in Colchester Park. Eddie's mother was an online fitness and well-being coach and also a ski instructor. He had an older brother and a younger sister, and Eddie had never been in trouble with police before, and he was a top student. Scarlett and Eddie would exchange numerous, and I mean numerous, texts, constantly texting back and forth. She would text Eddie things about the movies that she loved. She loved the movie Sweeney Todd. She said in a text to Eddie, he kills people with one of the sharpest blades in the world. One slit, slice, things very deep. It's a very good and dark and gory and romantic. I'm watching for the 9,000th time. You should watch it. Scarlett once sent Eddie a text and a video, and she said about this video, I love watching torture vids, real ones, on the dark web. Eddie and Scarlett would go on to create a kill list, and on this kill list, they had four boys that they already wanted to kill. In addition, they would end up adding Brianna to that list. Now, these four boys were one boy that Eddie was very jealous of because Eddie had a crush on this boy's girlfriend. Another boy was the one who told on Scarlett when she brought pills to school. And then there was a girl and a boy because Scarlett found them unpleasant. That was it. She just didn't like them. And then they added Brianna to that list. In January of 2023, Scarlett and Eddie have a text exchange and they're talking about killing Brianna because people have been talking about how depressed she already is anyway, that maybe they could get away with it if they just poisoned her with pills. And what's so sickening and sad is that Brianna's mother, Esther, describes that one night Brianna was violently sick at home. She had been poisoned by Scarlett that day, but she lived. Brianna's mom says that if she did die that day, they would have just thought that she committed suicide. Scarlett sent another text to Eddie, and this is what it said. I'm obsessed over someone I know, but I don't have feelings for them. She's called Brianna. I don't know how to explain. Also, she has a D-I-C-K. L-O-L. I'm sorry, I'm not going to say it. Some of these texts are just so horrific, and probably the most horrific one when you read through these texts is this one from Eddie. In reference to how they would kill Brianna and what they would do that day, Eddie said this to Scarlett. I want to see if he'll scream like a boy or a girl. That was really hard to even get out of my mouth. I cannot believe that was written by a 15-year-old boy. A 15-year-old boy that never even met Brianna. It's January 28th, 2023, and Eddie and Scarlett had made plans with Brianna to meet them at the library in Colchester Park at 1 p.m., and then the three of them would all walk over to Colchester Linear Park. Scarlett texted Eddie the following: "Meet me at the wooden post in Linear at 12. We'll go over our plan again, and I'll show you where I'm killing her, and then we will both walk to the library to meet her. And grab onto Brianna, slit her throat. When she starts to fall, stab her in the back, then pass me the knife. I want to stab her at least once, even if she's dead, just cause it's fun. LOL." Eddie texts back, "I got a chef blade. Let's have two words, one for getting the knife ready and another for stab." Scarlett said, "For get knife ready, I'll look at you and cough. And for stab, I'll say gay." But January 28th rolls around, and at around 11:25 a.m., Scarlett messages Eddie to tell him that she got a text from Brianna, and what she wrote to Eddie was this: "I'm fucking pissed. Brianna just last minute said she can't come. She said she might be able to after 5. The trio now make plans to actually meet up on February 11th. It was a Saturday in 2023. Now, Ring doorbell cam will capture the last moments as Brianna leaves her home for the last time around 12:45 p.m. on this day. Around 1:41 p.m., Brianna texted her mother from the bus, and she said to her mother that she was scared because her anxiety was raging that day. She was alone on the bus, and she was just feeling a little anxious, so she texted her mom. CCTV would capture Scarlett and Eddie waiting at the bus stop at this time for Brianna to arrive. This is the first time Brianna is meeting Eddie. The three of them can be seen on camera walking towards Colchester Linear Park. The three of them arrive to the park at around 2 o'clock p.m., but this park has no CCTV cameras. It is then at around 3:15 p.m., that there are two dog walkers that come into the park, and they come upon a strange sight. What they see is a young man crouching towards the ground, leaning over what they called something. Then they also see a teenage girl standing slightly past the boy, just looking on at him. Once they see the dog walkers, the two teenagers run. The two people walking their dog, they call 911. They realize what they see is a dead body or someone that is in need of help. So the emergency services, they arrive within 15 minutes. But at around 4 p.m., Brianna Jai is pronounced dead. Brianna was stabbed 28 times across her head, neck, chest, and back. 12 of those stab wounds were from behind. Eddie and Scarlett can be seen again on CCTV walking calmly down a road towards home. They drop Brianna's phone into a sewer grate, and Scarlett continues on her way home as Eddie boards a bus for his house. Once Scarlett is home, Scarlett texts Brianna's phone and creates this fake scenario about how she's upset with Brianna because Brianna left her at the park alone so that Brianna could meet up with some 17-year-old boy that she met on the internet. Now, police are searching CCTV footage. They're trying to figure out what happened. Why did this happen to this young girl? And no one saw anything. But the biggest piece of evidence would come from Scarlett's mother. Now, Scarlett's mother knew that Scarlett was at the park that day. So she was like, "Did you see anything? Do you know what happened?" And Scarlett tells her mom the same story about the 17-year-old boy that Brianna said that she was going to go meet. Scarlett's mom thinks, you know what? This is a great piece of information that the police could probably use right now to help solve this crime. So she calls the police and she tells them everything that her daughter just told her. Scarlett even gets on the phone herself and tells the police the whole story about the 17-year-old internet boy. Within 2 hours after that phone call is made, the police arrest Scarlett Jenkinson and Eddie Ratcliffe. Scarlett is going to stick to her story. She is not budging from the story about the boy from the internet. But Eddie is not going to stick with that story. Eddie tells the police that all three of them walked to the park and he had to pee alone in the woods. So he went behind some trees and that's when he heard Scarlett killing Brianna all on her own. He said that he ran out from behind the tree. He ran to try to help Brianna, but basically there was no stopping Scarlett, so he just ran away. He says that when the dog walker saw him crouching over Brianna, that he was actually just trying to see if he could still help her. But that's when he knew he had to go, run away. So the police are looking at Eddie in this interrogation room and they're like, listen, Eddie, we have your knife, we have your text. And Eddie then says, I would like to remain silent. Trial will now begin on November 27th, 2023, and the two would be having a mental health evaluation because they were both claiming insanity or that they weren't able to stand trial. But the judge would decide that no, they're both fit for trial. And during this trial, they blame each other the entire time. Scarlett was diagnosed with ADD, anxiety, and autism. And Eddie was diagnosed with autism. So during the trial, Eddie would not speak. He didn't speak at all. He was actually allowed to answer questions by writing them down on a piece of paper, and they would be handed to the judge. The judge would actually find Scarlett as the main perpetrator and knew that Scarlett had devised this whole plan. She was basically the leader. So both Eddie Ratcliffe and Scarlett Jenkinson are found guilty. Scarlett is going to get life in prison with a minimum of 22 years before she is allowed for parole. And Eddie is going to get life in prison with a minimum of 20 years before he is able to be up for parole. At sentencing, Esther Jai, Brianna's mother, was allowed to read a victim impact statement. And I want to read that for you. Brianna was an extremely vulnerable teenager. As Brianna's mother, I was constantly worried that she was putting herself in risky situations. She was diagnosed with ADHD and ASD as a teenager. With these conditions, she found it extremely difficult to identify dangerous situations, although in this case, no one could have predicted that it was a dangerous situation for Brianna. This was the hardest thing for me and the rest of Brianna's family to come to terms with. Finding out that one of the people who had been charged for her murder was someone we believed to be her friend, someone that we trusted, someone that I was so happy that she had, fearing that my child had been lonely, not knowing that this person had been planning to not only cause harm, but to take the life of my precious child. I tried to protect Brianna so much when she was putting herself in harm's way, and I failed by allowing her to meet Scarlett on that Saturday afternoon. I was pleased to receive the text from Brianna on that afternoon of February 11th, telling me that she was going out to meet her friend. In order to meet her, Brianna had managed to get on a bus by herself, something that was a first and a big deal for her. I had been concerned that Brianna wouldn't be able to get herself to college due to her anxiety, and this was a big breakthrough for her. I thought she would have a wonderful time hanging around with her friend and getting some fresh air, when all that time she was being lured to her death. All I can think about is that she would have been scared, and I wasn't there for her. She needed me to protect her. Brianna wasn't a fighter, and she must have been so terrified. I would go into her bedroom to ask her where she had gone and if she was okay. It broke my heart to know I would never get a response and I would never hear her voice again. I desperately wanted to know that she was okay and that she wasn't alone and in pain anymore. The fact that Brianna was taken from me in such a heinous way causes a pain that I struggle to describe. No parent should ever have to bury their child. She should have been around for the rest of my life. Brianna had plans for her future, which we will never have the chance to support her with. She wanted to go to college and study beauty therapy. She was looking forward to being old enough to have a little job like her big sister. We had also discussed her learning to drive, and she had even picked out which pink car she would like for her 18th birthday. When I remember the good memories that we made together, it hurts so much because she's not here anymore to remember them with me, and we will never get the chance to make more memories together. Instead, the final memories that I carry are the memories of hearing the news that my child has been found dead, memories of identifying Brianna's lifeless body, memories of her funeral, and now, to add to that, memories of the trial where the two people responsible for Brianna's death have been cowardly pointing the finger towards each other, showing no remorse and only interested in defending themselves. Our lives have completely changed because of this crime. I tried to go back to work weeks after Brianna's death, but going back to my normal way of life just highlighted that she wasn't with us. I would drive home knowing that she wouldn't be there when I arrived. As a result, I haven't worked since March. Brianna's sister, Alicia, chooses to stay at her boyfriend's house for most of the time because she feels such grief at home. It is so quiet without Brianna, and this is unbearable for her. Brianna was killed when Alicia was in college, studying for her second year of A-levels. Alicia has always been a promising student who enjoyed learning and achieving, but she has struggled and decided to quit college for now. She has lost confidence in her abilities due to the time that she had off to deal with her grief, and I worry that the trauma that Alicia has experienced could negatively impact the rest of her life. I believe that both Scarlett and Eddie continue to be a danger to society. Their behavior has impacted my family terribly, and I would never want them to have the opportunity to carry out their sadistic fantasies on another vulnerable person. As I've mentioned, I have another daughter, and one day I will hopefully have grandchildren. I want to help make society a safer place for them to grow up, and the thought of Scarlett and Eddie being released from prison absolutely horrifies me. I don't believe that someone who is so disturbed and obsessed with murder and torture would ever be able to be rehabilitated. I have moments where I feel sorry for them because they have also ruined their own lives, but I have to remember that they felt no empathy for Brianna when they left her bleeding to death after their premeditated and vicious attack, which was carried out not because Brianna had done anything wrong, but just because one hated trans people and the other thought that it would be fun. Brianna's mother, Esther Jai, ended up meeting with Scarlett Jenkins's mom. And in an interview with The Telegraph, Esther said through tears, "I think that her coming to see me shows a great deal of bravery on her part as well. It was a very emotional meeting, but I'm so glad they did that, and I appreciate them for giving me the opportunity as well. I just wanted to understand her perspective and see what they are going through as a family as well." Scarlett Jenkinson continues to make kill lists while she is imprisoned. Her kill list nowadays consists of the staff and the guards at the prison. Esther Jai has been campaigning to promote mindfulness in schools since September 2023 and raising money for Peace in Mind. Their goal is to raise money to send teachers on Mindfulness in Schools Project training courses. This will provide more support for children of all ages, starting in Warrington and eventually expanding. Esther explained this on the GoFundMe page. "The traumatic impact that Brianna's murder had on my family was so enormous that I decided to help make a difference to our society to reduce the risk of this happening again to another young person." Peace in Mind UK is dedicated to improving mental health in today's society by promoting mindfulness to create a more compassionate and supportive community for all. This nonprofit organization is set up in Brianna's name. This is Brianna's legacy. The aim of this company is to contribute towards building a peaceful society based on resilience, empathy, and unity. Esther writes, "I will continue to campaign for mindfulness in schools along with better protection for our children on smartphones. I have had the greatest people around me helping and supporting everything that we've achieved so far, including all of you, whose kind words and support keep me going. Together, I really believe that we can make things better. This is just the beginning." If you would like to support Esther Jai and Brianna in this cause, please go to peaceandminduk.org. That is peaceandminduk.org, where you can donate. You can also donate to the GoFundMe in Brianna's honor. You can find that page at gofundme.com/f/ Brianna Jai Memorial. Brianna is spelled BriannaGheyMemorial. Residue will also be making a donation. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Residue. I know it was a really tough one to get through. And I want to leave you with the words of Brianna's mother, Esther Jai, as she writes on the Peace and Mind UK Instagram page. "In order for me to move forward in a productive way and hopefully help others, I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to bubble up with hate. I refuse to put my energy into anything that won't result in a positive outcome." If you enjoyed this episode of Residue, please share with your friends. That's the best way for others to find Residue. You can also find me on Facebook at Residue, a true crime podcast, or on Instagram at Residue Podcast, or on Threads at Residue Podcast, or you can email me at residuepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much. I will see you again next week. And in the meantime, I hope you stay safe and stay paranoid.